I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
It's gonna be really loud in here for a moment.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
It is September, the 9th, also known as my September birthday.
Oh, really?
For those of you that don't know, I was born on September the 20th. So that means from September the 1st through September 30th, we celebrate my birthday. Also known as September birthday.
And you know what? Mine is next month.
So you will have an October birthday.
Yes.
And I suggest that everybody else do the same.
Yes,
celebrate your birthday
month.
Through the entire month.
Yes, just schedule
like
time with the birthday children.
One historical fun fact about your life. Every I urge you to celebrate yourself, love yourself, do it more. I'm telling myself that more than telling everybody else
yes.
that. But it's good to have y'all here, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Just a little guy.
That's my favorite.
Trying to get through the darkness.
That's my favorite.
And
you don't have ugly feet. I just want to tell
you that. I'm working on it.
Sometimes, I've seen your feet many times. They are not ugly.
If I take care of them, sometimes the days get long and I forget. But with me, as always, is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
No, good morning, David. It's really early on Sunday.
It's really early.
And it's really rainy.
It's really late for me. It's like...
Oh, did you not go to sleep?
No, I wake up like at 4 o'clock usually.
Well, me
so
too.
I slept through all of that, so I'm refreshed.
You
feel
are.
Good.
You feel good. You feel
good.
Feeling ready feel nice. To tackle the
yeah,
day.
Ready to do all
and
this.
And then you opened your door and saw that it was rainy and gross and said,
"No, I like actually I was like thank God it's like temperate, you know?"
Right?
So for some I mean, you know, forget about the rain. I'm okay with that.
I am so
that.
Okay with that.
But I am glad that it's not.
I'm just
that it's not sticky.
I'm glad I'm not melting.
No,
yes.
That there is no precipitation betwixt my booty cheeks. when I get out the car, I am happy because I'm free.
I knew that was
Is it too
coming.
Early for the phrase booty cheeks?
But there's something about that joke. You can't, you just have to sit there and let it hit you.
Yeah. Like the precipitation.
I'm glad you went. I'm glad you went to booty cheeks and not anything else though. That was.
And with that, I will segue into children's literature.
Because we're all about the children here.
Homegrown love the kids. Homegrown love the kids. So with me is Wendy Zamparelli. You know you were what you were getting into, did you?
No, I didn't, but it's fascinating. I'm really glad to be here.
Yes, we're fascinating.
Yes, we are fascinating people.
Hashtag
Wendy. I would hope to say so. That's what you say when you're terrified by somebody, but you nervously laugh.
Oh no, I'm not terrified.
No, I mean you. But I was gonna say. So let's get the plug out of the way. Let's hold it up, Princess Ingeborg,
and
the Dragons, written by Wendy Zamparelli, illustrated by
Andrea Strongwater.
All right, that's not your alias. That's an actual other person.
Another person. She's great. She is an artist in New York.
Okay,
and we
so
went.
She's busy.
She's busy.
Incapacitated, I guess, by travel.
we're college chums. We met on my freshman year on the dorm corridor.
Oh,
and
cool.
We've kind of kept in touch kind of vaguely over mm-hmm. the years, but I have some of her art, and we always mm-hmm. enjoy being together.
Mm-hmm.
And a year ago, Christmas, we were both at the same party in New York, and I said, "What are you doing these days?" And she said, "I'm illustrating children's books." And I said, "You know, I have a children's book."
Mm.
And we just, it kind of happened from that moment. And it's just wonderful. Mm. She's really talented.
You know, I must say something about college dorm mates and the weird, strong bond that is built between you and college dorm mates, there's something
yes.
that is unifying about somebody that carries you into your room when you're drunk. And
David, I think
unable
you might,
to walk.
You may be only talking about your experience.
I mean, shout out to Edward Curley, Mike Hickson, Marco Sanchez.
That's what I thought. Yeah. He's talking about
that
his
experience. That was the crew.
I'm
that
sure
was the
Wendy did not.
Back in the day in college.
I'm sure you were not carried into your dorm room.
Well,
drunk.
I think I'll take
Malik,
the Fifth Amendment.
My man
there
Malik.
Go. All right, good. Good.
Shout outs all around to the tech crew.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Princess Ingborg. So what we do in Homegrown is we talk about pretty much the process about art. You talked about how you hooked up with Andrea again. You said you wanted to do this. Talk about after that. Talk about getting the composing everything together, publishing.
Sure.
Go on.
She had been working with a publisher. She's kind of on a list of illustrators that they use for various books. And she had liked working with them, and we decided just to try to go with them. And that worked out pretty easily. It's a small publishing house in Northern Virginia called Mascot Publishing.
Very good.
Mascot Publishing, if you're trying to get your children's book out there, that's the place to be.
And we've enjoyed working with them, and as the folks here can see, I mean, they did a really wonderful job on the production.
Yeah, you didn't have to, like, sell it, you know? Really?
It's interesting. You kind of do and you kind of don't. They are a hybrid publisher, and by that they mean that they're not a vanity press where you just pay and you get whatever you want, or they're not a traditional publishing house where you go through an agent and then they say, no, I'm sorry, we only can give you this many pages. So you basically, it's partly pay to play. And they have the professional editing staff, professional design staff. You can't just publish anything you want. They turn things down if they don't feel that they're appropriate or marketable. So I think it's probably a kind of new development in publishing that we are likely to see more of, because as we all know, many forms of media are really, really changing because of internet and all
it
the other capacities.
It behooves the publishing company to do so. Like, you can't just force the hand. It's the same thing with record companies. You can't just force the hand anymore. Like, artists have the right to just find their own book company, find their own printing press, do what they want. Or they can just do an ebook, because every kid I see on the train or whatever now is reading by iPad.
Yep.
So it's like, they don't really need books. So it helps the publishing company be like, yo, we'll help you out if you help us out and you give us something to actually, like, market.
Right. And
and children's books seem pretty, I'm sorry to keep interrupting you. Children's books seem pretty safe. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to denigrate or dilute, but it seems like they're going to make their turnaround. Like, no matter what, you couldn't sell like something that would be like deeper, like a young adult novel or something like that.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the hard part about this now is getting the word out.
Right.
In fact, we're having a signing and a reading this next Saturday, the 15th, at the New Dominion Bookshop at 11 o'clock.
I forgot to say that. Thank you so much. September 15th.
September 15th, New Dominion Bookshop. And people who buy the book or see the book seem to really fall in love with it. But how do you get that out nationwide?
Yeah.
And so
by tuning into the Homegrown Show on 94.7 WPVC.
Right.
The progressive voice of Charlottesville. But go on and continue.
So one of the really important things to do, I mean, there are kind of several almost contradictory things going on. One is you really want support from your independent local bookshops, like the New Dominion.
Shout out to New Dominion that always gives us love
and
appreciation every week.
We're also working with some stores in Lexington and Roanoke to get events going. So that's really important. But the other thing is that you need to have people posting things online about the book in order to get through the barriers of geography and try to get more folks to know the book.
Is that difficult for you? And while you're answering this question, I want you to kind of hold some of the artwork up and kind of show like the texture and the brilliance of the visualization of this book. It's pretty beautiful. But cool. So is that hard for a person like yourself to, like, you know, delve into social media and kind of like sell yourself, essentially, and kind of... Instead of like just
Letting let's face it, David, that's hard for any artist.
Oh my God, I hate it. I hate social.
It's the hardest thing to do.
I would delete my account right now if it wasn't for like the necessity to market the shows that I'm in.
Exactly.
So exactly, it is what it is.
It is hard, and I, for instance, have had a Facebook identity for a long time, but I was told to do that to keep somebody from just taking my name and using it. You know,
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I now have some actual news items on Facebook, but mostly I have a notice saying if you want to know more about me, please go to my website. Because
right.
I have a lot of problems with Facebook as an entity. I don't.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I just don't respect the way they run their business.
Yeah.
Mm. So, but another good thing I have, and with the help of my husband, even though we may not be on social media per se, we have a lot of people we email with and keep in touch with.
Right.
And so we have been able to spread the news to a large extent just that way.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's tough. And I tell you, I'd much rather be writing books than trying to sell them. You know, I mean, I kind of almost resent the time it takes.
Oh, yes.
To get out there with mm-hmm. these different messages.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really happy about the book, and it says some things that I think are important, especially in a time when we're in this princess culture that a lot of young girls are really wrapped up in. One of the first things that I say in the book is Princess Ingeborg was not beautiful. Few princesses are. But she had honest brown eyes, a kind smile, and a pleasant way of speaking that made you forget she was royalty. So I want to kind of disconnect the notion that physical beauty and prominence and stature and ability to affect change in your community all go together with being a princess.
Yes.
I think you're about to ask the same question.
So in writing a children's book, did you feel a particular responsibility a particular responsibility or the weight of the effect of what you were writing that you maybe wouldn't feel if you were writing books for either young adults or even adults?
No. Oh, wow. I think I feel a certain responsibility to say important things, and you can use different characters to say them in different ways. Mm-hmm. But I wanted expressly to kind of separate Princess Ingeborg in this book from the sort of princess and beauty culture.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that children are always really intrigued by, at the end of the book, we see Princess Ingeborg. She's traded in her court dress for a t-shirt which says "Support your DFFs." That's Dragon Friends Forever. And she's on the throne.
Believe your Dragon Friends Forever.
Yeah, she's on the throne in jeans, and you know, just wanted to kind of get across that you don't have to dress in a special way, a particular way, to be a particular person.
Mm-hmm. And we're actually seeing that more often than ever now, the deconstruction of the trope of the princess.
Well, not just the trope of the princess, but the need for people to fill the standard role of what beauty is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I'm noticing that, like, even in the beginning of Shrek, and then there's this new show, Disenchantment, on Netflix that kind of deals with that situation. And Disney has actually been doing that more and more now, just kind of breaking it down and kind of like just being more self-aware and irreverent and stuff like, haha, we kind of know what we're doing here in this scene because we've done it before because we're Disney. So I think that's a good thing that people are just trying to like break away from that commonplace like ideal of beauty and royalty and glamour and
influence.
Yeah, all of those are very important things to talk about, but we got to pay some bills.
Let's do that.
Let's do that because we don't want to be broke. But for those people that don't know, Wendy used to be a journalist before she was a writer for wonderful children's literature. So we're going to talk about that transition between one and the other. So we're going to pay some bills, or a bill or two. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hi, this is Rachel Austin. I'm a songwriter, improviser, performer, voice teacher, etc. Actually, I'm going to do that again. Hi, this is Rachel Austin. No, not that Rachel Austin. I'm the local artist, and this is Homegrown, your show about local arts on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
16 minutes past the hour, if you're just tuning in. You're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. Wendy Zamparelli is in the house with Princess Ingeborg and the Dragons. Her new book, Reading at the New Dominion Bookshop, September 15th. Wendy, thank you so much.
Oh,
for coming
my pleasure.
On to our show.
My pleasure.
And indulging my caffeinated rage.
I'm there.
Yeah.
So before the spotlight and glamour of children's books and the hardcore national tour of pressing said book, you were a journalist.
Yes.
Talk about that. Talk about that transition from dealing with real stuff to dealing with not so real stuff or stuff that you can control. And,
yeah.
And talk about, I guess, how you feel. Let's talk about it nationally, how journalists are being depicted and how journalists are
being
treated.
This is what David does. He asks you four different questions.
Yeah, because I got to get it all out because I'm going to forget it. So, yeah, talk about all that
well,
in 30 seconds.
It's a really, really hard time for journalism right now. And I think it's really important for everyone to read different sources of information. Don't just keep going to the same things that reinforce your beliefs, but look at what other people are talking about. And also having more respect for what journalists try to do. It's a really tough profession, but an incredibly rewarding one. And I have to say that in all the years I worked, and there were many of them, the journalists that I worked with, the journalists that I met, with almost no exceptions. I mean, look, in any group of people, every once in a while you're going to get a bad nut, right?
Yeah.
But they are so dedicated to getting the story and getting it right. I mean, if you have to have a correction published in the newspaper on one of your stories, you wear it like, you know, the scarlet letter. I mean, it's just horrible. And what they want to do is let the community know what's going on. That is the impulse. Mm-hmm. They're not there to fulfill some hidden purpose to get something done or not. So we really need to be supporting newspapers, radio, television, the good journalism that's online, and there's a lot of it. And really be respectful of that. I just kind of stumbled into journalism. I wanted to write for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to make money, and I wanted to write. And I eventually got a temporary position as a features writer in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm.
And it grew into a long-term career. I started in Roanoke, Virginia, again in the features department as a staff writer. And within, I started as a reporter, and then I became the features editor, and then I became the news editor running the whole news department. I was the first woman in that slot.
Oh, wow. Roanoke.
And then I became eventually the publisher of the Roanoke Times, and I was the first woman publisher for the Landmark chain of newspapers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a wonderful career being with journalists, and everyone who works on a newspaper is just so fascinating and wonderful.
Talk about the challenges that you had to face, like, as a woman in that space at that time.
Well, women are still facing those same challenges.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, and it's worse in many ways now. I did, for instance, when I was named editor, got a significant amount of hate mail, some of it quite threatening. Mm. And asking, you know, how did it feel to be a product of affirmative action? yeah, that sort of thing.
Classy.
Yeah, really classy. And I went to a lot of meetings and where I was the only woman in the room
not
serving food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and there were people who assumed that because I was female, I wasn't going to be tough about journalistic standards and stories that we were going to publish and stuff like that. I think most people were satisfied after they got to know me that that I would be able to do the job. So it was very challenging, but it was also incredibly rewarding. Mm. Again, from the folks who were feeding the paper through the press to the people out there selling advertising, everybody was just so terrific.
Do you find any of these experiences folding into your fiction work now?
Well, yes, in some respects. I mean, what I'm most impressed about are the differences, actually, because when I was writing most of the time, I mean, I remember being at a Rolling Stones concert in the Greensboro Coliseum, and I'm writing the review as I'm sitting there.
Right.
It's pandemonium, and I'm, you know, just kind of saying what I need to say to get this to the paper on time. But that's okay. But when I'm writing fiction, I need quiet. I need to be by myself. For me, it's much more about listening to the characters. A lot of people say this, and it always sounds so weird, but sometimes you create a character, and you want her to do this or that, and she just won't do it.
Yeah.
She won't do it. You've got to work with her. It's very strange. It's strange that these characters take on a life of their own. So for me, the writing process isn't all that different, but the listening process is different. I mean, when you're reporting for a newspaper or any news organization, you need to listen to your sources really carefully and understand what they're saying and also what they're not saying. The listening for me in fiction is somewhat different because these characters have to emerge and I have to discover them in a different way. But I'll tell you, anything you write, whether you're doing press releases or, gum labels or whatever it is, the more writing you do, the more writing it helps you in any other kind of writing that you want to do. So for me, sometimes it's fun to build on some of the tropes that I used as a journalist in fiction. But it is very different, and I'm really enjoying getting to experience this side of that kind of creativity.
Wow. I don't think we have anything else to say. I mean, she said it all, basically.
Wow. I mean, you're just speechless when you've met people that have gone through so much more than what you have. And it's just astounding. So thank you.
You're young still. Give you time. Yes. We're going to give you time.
Wendy, thank you so much.
It's been my
pleasure. Being on the show.
This has been such a kick. I really enjoyed it.
Hopefully you'll be back when you do your next book.
There you go.
Yeah.
When you keep writing and keep putting them out.
I've got a novel coming out in a few months.
Booyah!
Awesome!
2019, Wendy's on Pirelli in New Dominion Bookshop, September 15th. Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
All right.
So what are we doing? Stuff?
What do we always do after the first guest, David?
I know.
All right.
I know. I'm messing with y'all. Jeez. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running now through September 9th. The Gun Gunner. Old Techniques Remain Strong. Wait a minute. It is September 9th. Hey, last show, y'all. An exhibition of paintings on eucalyptus bark from the West Daly region in Northern Australia at the Kluge Aboriginal Art Collection. And now through September 16th, the musical about marriage and mayhem at Shannon Arts in Stanton. You know that musical.
It should have been you.
All right, now, exhibits from local artists regarding to art.
What?
I missed the art part, so I had to come back to it. Philip Martin's Abstract by Intuition at the Charlottesville Writer House. Uzo and Juku, yay, paintings at New Dominion Bookshop, because they're awesome. Second Street Galleries, Teeny Tiny Trifecta.
featuring three small works from a collection of artists, including locals like Stacey Evans, Eileen French, Michelle Gagliano, Lou Haney, Sam Gray, woo, and more. Valencia Robin and Matt Smithson's show of painting and animation, She Said, He Said, at New City Arts Welcome Gallery, and Tim O'Kane's paintings in his show, One Intention in a Troubled World, at Chroma Projects Art Lab. All these are going down downtown. Wherever you are, you should go right there and check it out. Today, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library and WVPT/WHTJ kick off a new season of the PBS show. This is a lot of letters. The Great American Read at the Jefferson Madison Regional Library Central Branch, featuring book giveaways and an art of their visit.
Well, you know, letters make words, David.
Today and tomorrow! You know what I mean. They're just letters by themselves. Auditions, but not, you know what I mean. Auditions for Live Arts Theater's November production, Seven Homeless Mammoths. Mammoths.
Oh, my goodness.
I plead the fifth. Wonder New England, directed by Larry Goldstein. Tonight. Huh? Oh, yeah. What's up, Larry? Tonight, Contra Dance at the Greenwood Community Center. Contra Dance.
Okay. It's a dance?
Yeah. It's a dance. I'm okay.
He is unfamiliar.
I'm just familiar with the Contra game from Nintendo. So
oh,
I just,
my goodness.
Okay. Okay.
It's not
oh,
that.
Charlene Green's doing stuff tomorrow. Tomorrow, Charlene Green from the Office of Human Rights will lead a talk about unspoken Charlottesville African-American history, followed by Laura Lee Gulledge.
Gulledge.
I apologize. Leading an art-making exercise to illustrate these stories. All parts of the Sign of Change project, which Dr. Green has talked about on our show. You need to see this thing, for the love of God. Charlene Green is amazing. September 12th, photographer and landscape Bill Mousy. What? Landscape artist Bill Mousy.
There we go.
I keep skipping words. What
and
is that?
And you're skipping the word artists. It's like, not, every yeah word you've skipped has
it's
had
like,
art.
We do a show about arts. They should know that we do art. All right. Artist Bill Mousy. Open this collection of his works. UVA Darden School of Business. Oh, business. September 13th. Bring 20-plus haikus. Or watch host Raven Mack lead Southern Gothic Futurist Haiku Slam at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. Wow, that the V with the U got me twisted. I know that's the way they spell it, but it got me twisted. September 13th. This is all September 13th, by the way. UVA 2018 MFA Reading Series kicks off with readings from Sasha Stein, Prevost, and Piers Galley at New Dominion Bookshop. Also September 13th, House of Bell, Pride Edition at Southern Cafe and Music Hall. September 14th, the Charlottesville Chapter of Creative Mornings features a talk by Matt Shields on chaos at 8:30 a.m. at the Common House. And Laughing Dragon Kung Fu presents a traditional Chinese dragon dance and a Chinese lion dance at the Northside Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Also September 14th, Lighthouse Studio Youth Film Festival at Vinegar Hill. Also on September 14th, Marjean Oldham signs copies of the second edition of her book, 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die, Fight White Supremacy, at the New Dominion Bookshop. September 15th. Well, that's right on the list.
That's on the list. Yeah, it better be.
Big bold letters, underlines. September 15th, Mary Baldwin University Shakespeare and Performance Program presents Oedipus the King and Oedipus at Colonus. Gross.
Both of them?
Keep going. The first two plays of Sophocles' Theban trilogy at Stewart Hall in Stanton. September 15th, dancers age 5 and up are welcome to attend open auditions for Charlottesville's ballet production of The Nutcracker. Also September 15th, this is all September 15th, by the way. Catch local music at the Belmont Bash at Belmont Park. Seaville Pride Festival from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Sprint Pavilion downtown. And Seaville Sabroso Latin Music and Culture Festival at the It's Art Park, and for your music options this week.
Oh my God. All right, today, the Ragged Mountain String Band at Batesville Market at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Patrick and Aaron Olwell and friends at Albemarle Ciderworks at 2:30. A concert from the 19th Annual Charlottesville Chamber Music Festival featuring, yeah, right, Pitoru?
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 Pitoru? there are like things over the letters and
Patoro Takamitsu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Patoro Takamitsu. Okay. I'm just trying to get the name right.
On top. You said it with the thingy.
Voice for flute, John Cage's Amores Box Flute Quartet in C major. And Hummel's arrangement of Beethoven's Symphony No. 4 in B flat major, Opus 60 at UVA's Old Cabell Hall at 3 p.m. Tonight, King Golden Banshee at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub at 5:30. Tonight, John Derp's band from Miller's plays Brooks Hall at UVA at 7. Tomorrow, the Charlottesville Chamber Music Festival continues with Music Fresh Squeezed, an exploration of new currents in music. I'm just going to leave that there at September 11th, Bob Huntington and then Travis Elliott at Fellini's and Bill Sanderson at Dirty Nelly's. On the 12th, Star Baby and the Rolling Ohms at the Shebeen Pub, Ben Hernandez and Gabe Roby at the Whiskey Jar, Junior's Very Last Stand at Dirty Nelly's. On the 13th, Charlottesville Chamber Music Festival continues with David Lang's Sweet Air, Isang Jung's Clarinet Quartet No. 1, and Sang Yung's Garak for flute and piano, and Robert Schumann's Piano No. 3, Opus 110 at Old Cabell Hall.
Thank God it's number three.
I know, right? Because one was...
Two was, oh my God.
Two was out there,
three,
right?
He redeemed himself.
Three, he got it. He brought it all back in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The 13th, the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar. The 14th, We Are Star Children at Fridays After 5 at the Sprint Pavilion. Edwina, you're playing the pavilion? Oh my God! Holy crap! Okay. Small Town Rodeo at Chisholm Vineyards at Adventure Farm. The Pollux at Glasshouse Winery. Pale Blue Dot, Yonder Phonics, and Cooler Heads at the Ix Park. The Breakers prevent the CD release concert with Astronomers and Sweet Tooth for their new CD rewrite. Richmond's Lucy Dacus plays the Jefferson Theater. Baba Seth at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall.
What?
That's all the 14th, people.
Baba Seth is back.
All on the 14th. Okay. 15th, Cashless Society at the Whiskey Jar, Jim Wave at Albemarle Cider Works, Outlaw, Bubba McCauley at James River Brewery, South Canal Street at Cunningham Creek Winery and Farm Store, Buzzard Hollow Boys at the Mainsville Market, and Eli Cook at Wayland's Crossing Tavern. Hey, Eli, what's up, babe? You need to come back on the show, by the way. Woo, that's a lot. Okay, every Friday we got Pickin' and Grinnin' local and musical jam at James River Brewery in Scottsville. Every Sunday, Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Red and the Romantics of the Whiskey Jar, the ATM Unit Rapture. Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebadero. All right, here we go, Wednesday.
Oh, Lord.
Wednesday, here we go. Ready? All right, put you back into it.
Oh.
Open mic night at Pro Ray, not a farm brewery.
Boom!
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective No. 9 at Fellini's No. 9.
Boom!
DJ and Friends at the Bebadero.
Boom!
Bachata Fusion at the X Park. 502 Fossils at Shebeen. And the Mike Krasinski at Jeff Gurka Quartet at Miller's. That was
wacky
Wednesday, man. Every Thursday, Lou at the Bebadero. And every Thursday. Every Thursday. John Durst at Miller's. All right. Woo! Give me a drop, please.
All right, let's get out of here. This is Homegrown.
Drop!
I am local poet Mariana Dunn, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
35 minutes past the hour. This is Homegrown. If you didn't know, now you know. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned! Sorry?
And if you're just tuning in, where have you been? Where have you been?
I want to know.
We all want to know. Everybody else set an alarm to get here. I don't know what's
Shameful.
Wrong with you.
Shameful.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Stay tuned past the hour, or stay tuned past the show after the top of the hour for the show. Sunday morning wake-up call. Obviously, I'm not woke up enough. With your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Dr. Nathan Fountain. What? Talking about epilepsy and cannabidiol oils. I'm with it.
I saw cannabis.
And I'm all about it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Whatever it is, I'm with it.
Ooh.
You, you had me at Kenneb.
Oh boy. Is that like I had you had me at hello? Is that what it is?
Because
it's a version, you know, of that.
Because when I get a little cannabis in me, I like to dance.
You don't do that, David. That's illegal.
No, I mean, I'm just for medicinal purposes.
You would never do that because that's illegal, and David is a good boy.
Sometimes my back hurts, and when my back hurts, I feel like I
need
to dance.
You go to the doctor and get a prescription. That's what you do.
I got to dance.
Really? You
talking
have to dance?
About dancing is Edwin Roa.
Hi, how are you?
Founder of Zabo Dance. Dance instructor at JMU.
and this odd pause afterwards. Right. That's great.
A beautiful man.
Thank you.
And
so are you.
Yep. Amen.
Aw, look at all the love.
Just try to be like you.
Close to the mic.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Close to it. As if it was your partner.
All right.
Yes.
Zoltander, Charlottesville's first World Dance Fest.
That's awesome.
Right. Well, thank you. This has been a dream of mine for a while now, so hopefully we'll materialize it. The idea is to present it actually on the September 14th, actually, Friday.
Nice.
And if everything goes well and the weather cooperates, we're going to actually have it outdoors.
Okay.
No!
If there is a chance that the inclement weather doesn't allow us to have it, we're probably going to be moving it to October the 21st.
Okay.
Which should be a Sunday.
Okay.
But the initial is this Friday.
It won't be too chilly? Won't be too chilly?
I hope not. Well,
no, you get all
dancing,
hot when
so
you get when you dance, man.
So, I guess so. I guess
So world dance, like what does that entail?
All right. Well, that's a great question. So part of my vision or my mission with the Salsa Club, by the way, we started the Salsa Club back in 2000.
Right.
And in 2001, it became officially a club. So for already like 19 years, we've been going on at it. The whole mission is actually to unite our community through music and dance. We call it the Salsa Club, not just because of the type of music that we play, which tends to be more Caribbean, but it's all only because of what it means. Salsa is sauce, is what you put on top of the food, right? So it's the combination of flavors coming all together and just being all one. So that's how we all started. That's the whole idea of the club. We don't see race or religion or political background. Doesn't matter. We're all humans. We're all having fun, and we're meant to, you know, get together and have fun, right?
Nice.
So this is actually the second time we've met.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, because I went to a class that Edwin was teaching in Richmond with Dogtown Dance, with my friend Kevin.
Yes.
Yes. So I've actually danced with him before. And ladies, if you haven't, you must.
I would love to.
You absolutely have to do it.
You can come every Wednesday and every Sunday night at X Park. We have open parties. So like, and everybody's welcome. It goes all the way from 8:30 until 1:30 a.m. actually. So yeah.
No, I know Edwin around the way too, because I was dating this girl at the time and she was taking dance lessons.
Really?
And Edwin was her instructor. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So if you ever want to see your girlfriend get freaked by another dude, like for free, Edwin's the dude.
I love how you put in for free.
Like I was like, you can't do that with clothes on. Like, I mean,
no, he can't.
Like, I'm right here, dude. I'm right
here.
Keep
it clean, you know?
No, it's okay. No, brothers, if you ever want to feel insecure, Edwin's the dude to come see. Like, he will take your woman and make him.
I've said for years that there's more than one, but if there's one thing that quote unquote traditional masculinity does to really hamper men and young boys, to really just knock the legs out almost literally from under them, is promoting this antipathy towards learning how to dance.
Yes.
You got
true.
Like young boys, you just got to do it. You got to learn
really,
how to
dance. Really? I mean,
because when it gets to the time, the moment when you say, "Oh crap, I wish I knew how to dance right now." It's too late.
Yep.
It's too late.
And you know what? I mean, I can just say from personal experience, when you go out on a date with somebody and they can dance, that's like, that's up there with like the sexiest thing on the planet.
Means something.
It really does. It really means something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in my opinion, like, you know, if you learn how to dance, you learn how to connect. And that's,
yes,
after all, this is all we're looking for, is connection.
Mm-hmm. So are there... So there are going to be different styles of dance represented.
Yes, actually, this particular event is intended to showcase all of our cultures together, the global cultures. So different groups from different backgrounds, like from Polynesian dances to Indonesian to South American, African. And we try to include everybody. So this is basically to showcase how the language of movement and music brings us together. This is our all.
What did that look like? How did you bring all of those different cultures and instructors?
Alive. So I've been working with a lot of groups in different.
Well, that's what we do in Homegrown. We talk about the technical process of creating art as well and presenting it to the public. So talk. You said this was a lifelong dream of yours. So talk about the process. Were you on a board of directors that kind of came in and convened?
That sounds too official and too organized. As a good artist,
I love dancers, yo. Yes. This is it's not free enough. It's not fun. We're just gonna all get together. On the day off and wing it. That's what we're going to do.
I just happen to be very much in love of what I do, which is actually just dancing, bringing people together. And along the years, I happen to meet a lot of artists such as myself. But just as artists, we're so concerned with the subject behind the product rather than the organization of the product.
Yes.
So to be honest, I'm being just lucky that a lot of my friends actually shared that same vision, and I just happened to sort of somehow bring it together and with their help actually make this happen. My real goal is for Saltandi to become a once a year event. And if you guys are ever familiar with the Carnaval de Rio in Brazil.
Yes.
So my intent is to next year have a parade going on from downtown mall to the expo.
I'm familiar with Carnival.
Yes. I want that. I'm familiar with
Why
the costume.
Not?
I want that. Oh, stop. I'm just saying.
If you guys haven't seen this, I will actually advise you to just go to YouTube. There is a festival. I'm from Colombia, from Bogota, but in Colombia there is another region called Pasto, which is in the south part of it. There is a carnival there that happens at the beginning of the year, which is called Carnaval de Blancos y Negros. It means the Carnival of Whites and Blacks. 3 days. First day, everybody paints themselves in white. Second day, everybody paints themselves in black. Third day, we have and it is one of the most beautiful carnivals I ever actually seen. And it is online, by the way. Just check it out. And it has a lot of tradition. It's been going on forever. And one of the things that is actually great about this is that it showcases the fact that color doesn't matter. We're all human. We're all here to interact with each other, to learn to connect, and above all, just to have fun. I mean, we don't have that long in this planet, so why are we going to be miserable about it?
You know? Thank you. Thank you.
Dancers are so awesome. just that mentality. It's just what else are we going to do? We're going to be right back with Edwin. I've never seen you do anything else but dance in this town. So I want to talk about that. I do. I'm going to make it work. Trust me. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is Daniel and Lauren from Lowland Hum.
And you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
46 minutes past the hour, if you're just tuning in. Man, you know what?
Really?
Just go to your room.
Yeah,
just go to your room. I don't want to look at you anymore.
To your room. You know 94. What? When your father
gets home. Stop insulting the listeners. Stop insulting.
You can tune in whenever you want to.
When your father gets home, young man.
You can tune in whenever you want to, however you want to. Just listen to the show. Just listen.
No.
It's fine. It's fine.
No, it's not fine. When your father gets home, young man, we are going to have a talk with you. And you are not going to like it.
Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Your house is Rick Moore.
Flashback.
This is the black mama moment of the show. I think that's what we're calling it now. That's the black mama moment.
I thought that was a weekly rant. I just thought. Talking about Nathan Fountain talking about epilepsy.
and cannabinol oil.
All right.
That good stuff. Edwin Rubber. Back in the house. Talking about dancing. Talking about Saltunde. Charlottesville's first World Dance Fest going down at the Ix Art Park, September 14th. Edwin, I ain't seen you do nothing but dance. I ain't seen you bag groceries in this town like Jeffrey Owens. I ain't seen nothing. No shame on that.
Because
no
he
shame
teaches on that. At JMU. He
Trader
doesn't have
Joe's
to bag groceries.
Great insurance. Get your money, fam. I'm just saying, I've just never seen you like... I mean, I'm sure you probably do other things, but you're a dance instructor at JMU. Like, I just feel like all you know is dance.
Well, I'm definitely obsessed by it.
Sure. Talk about that. Talk about being obsessed by an art form that, like, runs your life.
Real story, what brought me to town was textiles. And what is really fascinating is if you guys actually know, back in the 90s, Ix Park, that used to be a textile factory.
Yeah. Mm.
The place that we're now holding our parties at, my section was on the second floor.
Stop
really?
It.
I'm not kidding you. It was actually that I used to work there up until 1998, when the industry closed down. And so I was left with a choice. Either I move... to India, by the way, or I stay in Charlottesville. Mm. And if I stay in Charlottesville, of course, I was going to be laid off, so which I was. So and then I pursued my second dream, which was dancing. And ever since, I never looked back.
Wow.
And dancing became my thing. so
look how the universe works.
I know, isn't it? So back in 2000, above Hamilton's, there used to be a place called the New Dance Space.
Yes.
And this is where the Ground Zero started, actually, too. It's a modern dance group. So we started actually using that space to offer salsa classes, which were one of the first salsa classes in town. Along that way, I met a gentleman. His name is Butch Bailey. Which is the president of the Salsa Club now. Another gentleman is Fernando Franco, which is actually an agronomer for Barbersville. And between the three of us, we decided to organize. Oh, there was another gentleman. His name was Bedri Setin. He was a writer from Turkey, but he went back to Turkey, actually. But between the four of us, we actually managed to rent the first, it used to be Star Hill.
Really?
Yeah. And so it was on Wednesday. We decided once a month to open it for a party for our group, little group. Then it started growing and growing and growing. And then we became a one time a week. And then little did we know, people started to like it. And we started to become more, active in the community. And, you know, back then, actually, it's kind of funny because the Latino community has always been present here. But they seem that they don't have an outlet.
Right.
Right.
Right. And one of the things that I like is to bring people together. And I as you can tell, I can never shut up.
Helps me out.
So imagine being back in the 90s. I came here in 96 when I first came to the States. And I didn't speak in English. So because I couldn't speak English, the only way of communication was through movement.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I like dancing so much.
There you go.
But it's also true. So my experience has been the fact that movement brings us together and transcends any kind of language. And it doesn't really... the beauty of dancing is we cannot lie in movement.
Yes.
You know, so what you see is what you get.
And that is true.
And it is really interesting because, like, you know, people think that dancing is about footwork. People think that dancing is about, like, you know, movement.
No.
When in reality, it has nothing to do with it. In fact, it's all about confidence. A lot of the time, you don't need to know something. Mm-hmm. You just need to be confident about it. And the first step is actually to be truthful with yourself.
Yeah.
If we are not confident, it's because we're trying to impress somebody, and we're just thinking about what that person wants us to feel.
Yes, yes.
Salsa teaches us how to become ourselves. And it is the coolest thing about it because it really doesn't matter what our thoughts are. Actually, we need this more than ever.
Yeah.
Especially now, we're so polarized by ideas. That in reality, you know, like sharing a room is the negotiation of two minds coming together, you know, and it has nothing to do with being right or wrong.
Right.
It's just being you.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the Salsa Club is we have managed to build a community where we don't see color. We just see music and our own expression. So this is a sauce. It's a mix of flavor, and we make it as hot as we can.
Ooh. Ooh.
Jeez,
well,
right?
with that being said,
I'm a little hot right now. Ooh.
Where can I get this hotness?
Edwin.
Where can I get the spicy salsa action if I'm in Charlotte?
Everybody's welcome to come every Wednesday and every Sunday night at the Ix Park. We start at 8:30 with a small introductory class for those of us who might feel uncomfortable at the beginning. But the idea is actually for us to learn to connect and meet people. So we always, in the classes, we always exchange couples so that even if you come with a friend, you will end up knowing everybody at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start the party, and it just goes until 1, 1:30. It depends until people get tired, really.
So, like, I can't dance anymore.
But yeah, so normally those are the two events that we do every week, Wednesday and Sunday. But we also throw different events actually through the year. So it's actually like at the wineries. We have what we call Salsa Under the Stars. Under the Stars, which is actually like a party done in different wineries that we actually work in local in town.
Yeah, I went to one last year.
Yeah. It's really fun.
It was really fun.
And we try to keep it very affordable. So usually the fee is $5. For entrance, and there is a discount for students as well. Mm-hmm. So we have all of our events posted on Facebook. It's actually called the Charlottesville Salsa Club. It kind of ended up being a spin-off of what Zabor Dance is. By the way, Zabor is spelled Z-A-B-O-R because it's a combination of three words. Saber means to know, sabor means flavor, and the Z comes from zest. So is the knowledge of the movement, the flavor of the music, and the zest for connectivity. So that's why the name. So, And
wow.
We actually teach at the Dance Pod, which is located on the Downtown Mall in Charlottesville, right behind the Live Arts Building, and is right above Jack Brown's. We have the two floors, and we actually teach all sorts of styles of dance. Mostly partner dancing from my end, but we work with different groups all together. That's why we call it the Dance Spot, because it's a collective of different artists. So we teach flamenco, we teach Bollywood, there is also Irish dancing, there is capoeira, there is like all sorts of different styles. And so if you're a local artist who want to share your artistry with us, if it is movement based, come join us. Is the Dance Spot.
Do not go to Jack Brown's first.
No.
And then go upstairs.
Don't go to Jack Brown's after either. That would just be
counterproductive.
That would be counterproductive.
Let me get two papas.
So David actually had to learn a little capoeira for the show that we were just in over the summer.
You guys got to check out Roderick. He's the instructor of capoeira. He actually works in Richmond as well.
Oh, really?
He's amazing. He's really good.
No, but I'm also doing choreography for ragtime as well. And what you're saying about confidence is so true. It's like the more that I'm in my head thinking about the steps and thinking about how well it looks from the outside, the more
you mess up.
The more I mess up, and the more it's not translating, and the more. You're right. It's hard to be an intellectual,
but you know what?
Feel the movement of dance.
But you know
really
what, David?
Get out of my head.
How many times have I told you get out of your head? Really?
Today?
It might be the first time today since I've known you. It may be in the millions.
More right than you know.
Yeah.
More right than you know. But yeah.
There is a phrase. I'm not entirely sure who said it. I think it was Rami. But it goes like this: like a dancer should dance until the dancer disappears and only dance remains. And it's basically the motto, right? Because if you ever heard the expression that if you want to make someone happy, you got to be happy yourself.
Yes.
Exactly. Right? Dancing is the exact same thing. So the more we try to actually please somebody else's ideas of movements, you're actually staying away from your true movement, which makes it not quite as authentic. So authenticity is really what makes us unique and happy. And like, this is what we are here for, to identify ourselves.
And that's why he teaches the dance.
That's why he teaches the dance.
And that's why you need to go see Saltandi, Charlottesville's first World
please.
Dance Fest at the X-Art Park, September 14th, and any other time, Wednesday through Sunday.
Yes,
or Wednesday and Sunday.
Wednesday and Sunday.
You so you can look us up on Facebook
Connect.
Through the dance spot.
Learn to love yourself.
Or Zabor Dance, or the Charlottesville Salsa Club. Well, all on Facebook, so.
Boom.
It's all good.
There it is.
David, you want to go dancing tonight?
I can. I have ragtime rehearsals.
Oh, that's right.
I got
you and your rehearsal.
I know. I believe me, I'd much rather be at home doing nothing watching football.
Thank you so much to our guests, Wendy Zamparelli, Edmund Rowe. Stay tuned. Sunday morning wake-up call. That guy, Nathan Fountain, I remembered.
That
talking
guy?
About epilepsy.
That guy? That's what you said?
No,
you said
that guy.
Oh.
I don't know about his weight. I'm sure he's a beautiful person overall. As y'all are beautiful people. Thank you all. We'll be back next week. Take it easy, y'all.
Thank you.
Cheers.
WPVC-LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.